Hear now the reading of God's word from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. And the God of all grace, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. We're now in that season of the year where in the deep south, weather systems tend to collide to where we get the most horrific of storms, storms that cause all kinds of calamitous conditions for both property and people. You probably are aware that tomorrow is June 1st, and that officially marks the beginning of the hurricane season. And if the hurricane season in 2020 turns out to be like everything else we seem to have experienced in 2020, then as the old saying goes, we would do well to batten down the hatches. We're experiencing a lot of difficulties, things that we could never have imagine, things that we would never have chosen to experience. If, for example, you were forced to make a choice between going through a hurricane and going through something like a novel coronavirus, which of those calamities would you choose? Now, as I've thought about that unpleasant choice this week, I have no doubts as to which of those calamities I would choose for myself. I would much rather go through a hurricane than to go through a coronavirus such as we have endured these last 2 months now, because a coronavirus can last for who knows how long, whereas a hurricane is here today and it's gone almost as quickly as it comes. It passes, it leaves. Yes, there's damage that is left behind. Damage that is so costly on so many levels, and yet the fact remains. We don't have to endure it forever. We know that as difficult as that storm may be, it passes, and it passes quickly. You pick your storm. Seems to be the nature of our earthly existence that we have to endure storms of some type. But we know this to be the case from our own experience in having to go through calamitous seasons of all types, that when we find ourselves facing a situation that is more than we can handle, how much we welcome a presence into our circumstances, a presence that can strengthen us and encourage us and provide us with the resources that we absolutely require in order to endure the hard times. Now, that was Simon Peter's counsel to the new Christians who were Under his watch care, we've been looking through Peter's first epistle since Easter Sunday, and we have seen how, as an orientation manual for new Christians, Simon Peter wants them to understand the importance of the living hope into which we have been born. A new birth into a living hope, Simon Peter says, all because of our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the passage of Scripture that I've read for you this morning, Simon Peter is bringing his letter, his first letter, to a close, a conclusion. And he feels inspired to offer these new believers a word of encouragement that will carry them into what he believes is the good future that God has for them to know, because of how painful their present situation is. And so Peter reminds them for one last time that the suffering and the calamity, the difficulties and the challenges through which we go in this life will not last forever. If you're on the receiving end of those kinds of trials and tribulations at the time, it may seem as if this agony is going to last forever. But Simon Peter assures his readers, and he assures us, that hard and difficult times will not last forever. God will see to it that they do not last forever. And as we, as people of faith, are going through these most challenging circumstances and situations, there are resources that God provides, resources that will see us through, resources that will enable us to endure them, emerging from them as stronger believers in Jesus. If we were to widen our reading lenses a bit in this fifth chapter and move back from verses 10 and 11 to begin at the very opening of that last chapter, we see how a good bit of the difficulties that have come upon these believers to whom Peter is writing are difficulties that in some way they have brought upon themselves. Not all of the folk to whom Peter is offering this counsel, this guidance, this direction, not all of them are new Christians. There are some who have been believers in Jesus for a longer period of time than others. Peter calls them elders. And yet what has happened among the churches to whom Peter is writing, churches that were scattered throughout Asia Minor, is that some of the leaders of the church were expressing a me-first mentality. They were not as concerned for the younger Christians as they should have been. They were neglecting their responsibility to help these new Christians grow in the faith because they were more concerned about themselves and their own plight. And so Peter is calling upon them to renew their sense of God's leadership, to see to it that others in the faith are able to make it through their perilous times and come through them as stronger Christians. On the other hand, Peter is reminding those newer believers that they are not showing the respect that the elders in the church deserve. They're not attending to their authority. They're not paying attention to the counsel and the guidance that they are receiving from these elders. And so what you have is a church that is torn apart. It's never God's intent for his people to be so divided. And Peter even suggests in this passage of Scripture that the reason that there is such division, this me-first mentality from both groups, older believers and newer believers, concerned only for themselves, is because, as Peter says, the devil is at work. The devil is at work within the church to divide God's people. But because Simon Peter does not want to give the devil too much due, like a hurricane comes in and does its damage one moment and leaves the next, Simon Peter references the devil who is seeking to devour God's people, but then takes the attention away from the devil and places it more squarely upon the God who sustains his people. Simon Peter says to the church, and in the face of all that you're going through, may the God of all grace, who has called all of you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have gone through these hard times for a little while, they're not going to last forever, because the God of all grace has promised to restore you and to make you strong and firm and steadfast, for to him, not to the devil, to the God of all grace belongs the power forever and ever. Amen. To the God of all grace belongs the power, and that God in his grace makes power available to his people to sustain them, to restore them, to strengthen them, to firm them up, to establish them in whatever may be their hour of need. Power is an interesting phenomenon. One of the things that I find fascinating about power is that it seems to be something that no one ever misses, because we take it for granted, until it is taken away, until it is gone. And then we see how dependent we are upon sources of power that are outside of ourselves. How many times in your life, when the power has gone out, have you unconsciously, instinctively gone to the light switch, and you flipped on the light switch as if all that is necessary is for someone to turn on the power? So you go to flip the light switch on and nothing happens because the power is gone. And suddenly you are made aware of this reality that has disrupted your life. And you can't wait until someone restores the power. And when they do, what tends to happen? Lights come back on, the air conditioning comes back on, the television comes back on. And someone shouts to everyone else in the house, the power's back on! And there's elation and jubilation and celebration. The power's back on, even though everybody else in the house can see it. There is just something in us that demands a cry of celebration. When the power has returned and life can get back to some sense of normalcy. Simon Peter knew what it was like in his own experience with Jesus to raise a shout when in the midst of a dark and dismal time, God's power came back on. It was the day of Pentecost, the day that we are celebrating today, the day of Pentecost. When the promised Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, and yes, as we have already represented in our worship this morning, the believers began to speak the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, exalted. They began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways that everyone who had journeyed to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost could understand in his own language. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And it tends to be the only miracle that we associate with Pentecost. Those unlearned Galileans were able to speak in languages that everyone who had come to Jerusalem that day could understand. What a miracle. Indeed it was, but there was another miracle that perhaps even more so today than ever we need to magnify, we need to emphasize, we need to bring to our attention the power of the risen Jesus. That also descended that day, enabling those common fishermen and tax collectors and the motley crew that was called Jesus' disciples, enabled them to go out into their world and to confront the world, the systemic evil that existed in their world, to name the powers of darkness for what those powers were, and to pronounce how every expression of evil had been overcome in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how those first believers were able to turn the world upside down because of the power that had come to them through the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the risen Jesus in their midst. Jesus had told them, "You will receive dynamos, dynamite. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." That too is the miracle of Pentecost, perhaps even for us this day. The greater miracle of Pentecost for this reason. For this reason. Some of you here are feeling powerless. A hard time has come upon you, a challenging season in your life. It's how life seems to unfold. One trial and tribulation after the other. Seems to be an unending cycle. You've tried to handle your crisis your circumstance, your painful situation, in your own power. But you've done all you can do. And you find yourself sinking under the weight of that impossible responsibility. Have you considered what the power of Pentecost might be able to do in your life if you were but to open your life to the presence of the Holy Spirit? If you called upon the God of all grace, who has already called you to His eternal glory in Christ, have you considered how God's gracious power might do in you a work that would restore you, make you strong, firm, and establish you, so that when His power became the dominant reality in your life, your soul would feel like shouting? When I was a boy growing up, I remember something my parents used to tell me. It was a saying that it's kind of woven into the fabric of West Alabama culture and the Dortch family came to embrace it as something of our philosophy of life. Your family probably bought into it too. Hard times don't last. You heard this? Of course you have. Hard times don't last, but hard people do. So that in those moments when I've found myself struggling to hold out and to endure, found myself telling myself, you got to be harder, you got to be tougher, you got to be stronger. But sometimes, as you've come to experience, the challenges are too great for you to hold on in your own power. Hard times don't last. And the only people who will be able to outlast them are not harder in and of themselves. They find restoration and strength and firmness and steadfastness. They are established because they have opened themselves to a greater presence that is able always to do in them incredibly more than they might ask or imagine. Max Lucado is a name I would think a lot of you know. He's a preacher out in San Antonio and an author. Most people are probably more familiar with Lucado from his books than his preaching. Outstanding preacher. In one of his sermons, he tells the story of a 10-year-old boy named Paul. Paul grew up in West Texas, San Antonio's in the western part of the state. Probably a young boy that didn't grow up far from San Antonio. It was in a part of the state that is prone to calamitous weather in the spring and summer months. You know, that's where so many of the tornadoes form and then make their way across the country, and the Gulf air meets it and we have to deal with it here. The land is much flatter out in West Texas, and you can see those funnel clouds coming from miles away. As Lucado tells the story, it was one of those times in Paul's family's life when they could see a funnel cloud on the horizon. Paul's dad gathered the whole family together into the house. The kids were out playing, Paul and his siblings. The dad brought them all into the house like he was herding cattle. And he instructed them to get under a mattress in the safe part of the house and put them all under there. He said, "You just stay here. This storm's going to come through, but it won't last long. You'll be safe under the mattress." Paul was there under the mattress with the rest of his family, his mother, his brothers, and his sisters. And as Lucado explains the situation, Paul peeked out from under the mattress because he realized that his dad wasn't there under the mattress with the family, and he wanted to know where his father was. And as he peeked out from under his mattress, he saw his dad over by the window peering out just to watch the funnel cloud. It was at that point Paul decided to leave the safety of the mattress and to go to his father, where he stood next to his father, clinging to his father's leg. The tornado missed the house, thankfully. Family didn't experience any harm. There was no damage to the property. But it was a memory. If you've ever been through any kind of storm, you got a story to tell too. Lucado said as Paul grew up, years after, the family would talk about that moment. And someone in the family would always ask Paul, "Paul, why did you get out from under the mattress?" And Paul would always have to explain, something just told him that being next to his father was the safest place to be in the storm. To be next to my father was the safest place to be in the storm. We're in some stormy times right now. Medically speaking, and civically speaking, and in so many other ways that we might emphasize, that's how this life goes. Some of them we even brought upon ourselves. How long these storms will last, I can't tell you. No one can. No one can. But what I can assure you is that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the Holy Spirit proceeds, God is greater than whatever storm anyone who calls himself or herself a follower of Jesus must go through. God is greater than the storm. And if we cling to our Father in the midst of that storm, without question, it will be the safest place for us to be. So today, why not find your rest in the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. His grace will restore you. His grace will make you firm and strong and steadfast. For God will have the last word. And to him will be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, in the face of what so many people are enduring today, we pray your grace for whatever difficulties we find ourselves in. We seek your help. We pray as well for your forgiveness of all of the sins and transgressions that we have done, either knowingly or unknowingly, that has kept this world from being the world that you created it to be. We thank you for the redemption that is happening now in Jesus Christ. Help us as a people who bear his name to take seriously our responsibility to follow the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit, to embrace the power that's made available to us, that we too might turn the world upside down for your glory. And we pray this together in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning and being a part of this experience of worship. It's my privilege to announce the newest members of Mountain Brook Baptist Church Parish, and Anna Holly have indicated their desire to unite with our church. Of course, you know Parish's parents, Elam and Sandra Holly, who are members of our church, and Parish and Anna have been attending with us for some time now. They're expecting their first child in August. We celebrate with them their desire to come and be a part of our family of faith. Parish is coming on transfer of letter from the First Baptist Church of Selma, Alabama. And Anna is coming on statement of faith from the First United Methodist Church of Tallahassee, Alabama. And so we look forward to recognizing Parish and Anna in a very personal way whenever we are able to be back together again, which leads me to the second thing. That will happen sooner rather than later, on June the 14th. That's two Sundays from today. We will be inviting people to come and share with us in gathered worship at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, June the 14th. I would invite you to do a couple of things. Go to our website and indicate your desire to be with us on that Sunday, June the 14th. We'll be having two services that day. 9 o'clock will be traditional worship, and 11 o'clock will be our contemporary worship. And by the way, we will continue to stream our services. We'll be streaming both of those services. So you'll have two opportunities every Sunday to share with us in worship if you are not ready to come back and be a part of our gathered worship. Absolutely understandable. If you do feel led to resume your worship gathering, the second thing I would invite you to do is to go to our website. We'll have a video there on what you can expect when you come back to worship. There'll be some restrictions in place that are for your safety, as well as others who gather for worship. And we want to make sure that we are being responsible, and we're gradually introducing new ways of resuming what we remember church being like. We're not going to be able to flip the switch, using that analogy, and go back to the way things were immediately. So it's going to be gradual. And so as we see how things go, we'll be able to adjust and adapt and alter some things, hopefully lessen the restrictions, but this is how we'll begin first. So you need to register your attendance on the website, because we will only be able to have 150 at each service, and then prepare yourself for how that return to church can be a positive experience for you. That's what we want it to be. Look forward to seeing you this Wednesday, the midweek update, if I can figure out how to keep the microphone on. Most of you know I went through an entire devotion, and no one was listening because they couldn't hear, but do better this time. Before our ensemble dismisses us, go with this blessing. May you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so that you can go out into this world that needs the love of Jesus Christ. Be his witnesses in Mount Brook, in Birmingham, and Alabama, and the United States, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So go in that peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.